I found that anything that I did, as long as I was, you know, first one there, last one to leave, owned it 100%, that it gained me the traction over the next person. And yeah, hard work, treat the customer right, and keep your foot on the gas, I guess. That's the best thing I can give. So.
Welcome to the MediCorp Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Langmaid. I run a video production company based here in Minnesota. Today in the studio, I'm joined by Jordan Barnes. Jordan is the owner of Accord Electric in Rochester. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm glad that we got you on here finally.
Absolutely. Kind of snuck up on me real quick there. I said we need to do it right after vacation. I'm like,
I know. I waited like the day you got back. I'm like, all right, let's get him in here.
I was kind of like, oh, I'll put this off for a little bit and I'll do it when it works out. But I'm glad that we just, got on it. No procrastinating, right? Get that off the list. So.
It was funny because we met in this. That breakfast club that we got going here. And it's funny, I've had probably most of those guys on already.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, we were just talking about that. It's like it's the new rite of passage. Like, we get you in there like, Josh, got to interview you because we got to hear who you are.
Sounds super official. Like, oh, if you're in breakfast club, you got to do the podcast, you know? It's kind of like, what's next?
We're going to start having applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll go out to Corey Sandpit and we'll have like trials out there running the toasters.
That sounded so much fun.
I know. I'm pumped. I'm like, we're definitely going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I'll make sure to up my insurance policy before we go. Just
let's make him up.
Yep. Make it worth the bill. I like it.
That's awesome. So before we kind of get into things, just explain to the listeners, like, what is Accord Electric and what do you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely. So started in 1983, so been around for quite a while here in Rochester. We're multifaceted, but our core group works a lot in multifamily housing, hotel, small to medium-sized commercial. We do some large scale, I guess you would say, which is subjective. We also do some residential service, really kind of touch on all of it. There's really no job that we don't chase, but we stay out of healthcare for the most part, and anything else is kind of free game. So
you kind of got crews that are specialized in all those different areas.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's guys that really get into their niche stuff, and that's just what they focus on, and they're really good at it. And then it kind of bleeds over into other stuff that's, you know, similar type work, and the guys have really done a great job owning what they do, right? So like, if you're really good at something, we don't try to like pigeonhole anybody into it, but if you're really good at it, you know, it's kind of like continue to do it and then let people shadow you and then try to grow organically that way. So really, really versatile company. Like I said, 35 plus years now, and continues to grow. Actually bought the company in 2018. And so we saw a little bit of a trajectory of growth that happened after that period of time.
Yeah, we're
going
to get into that a bit. How many employees you guys have now?
So it jumps around a little bit just because, you know, time of year and what it might be. But we average in that 45 to 50. And then summertime we'll jump up in, you know, 60 plus. Wintertime, sometimes we're 35, you know. So
depends what's going on.
It's all based on workload. So
right on.
Yeah.
So we'll go back a bit here first and some of your history.
Yeah.
Kind of growing up, well, first of all, where'd you grow up?
Plainview, Minnesota. So
little town of Plainview.
25 miles from here or so. And born and raised, so didn't make it too far away, but tried to spread my wings a couple of different times, and just, you know, I really like this area, and it's got a lot of opportunity. And yet some of these great small towns too.
Right. There are a lot of good just small towns all over.
There really are. And you know, when everything started popping up in Rochester, it felt like it was going to grow those small towns, and you can see it happening all the time. So like, we're popping into a lot of these small towns right now doing small to medium sized jobs. And I see more of that coming. And I think it's, you know, I think it's good growth in it.
Well, some people like the small town living too. Like you can work in Rochester easily and live in these small towns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad commute from, you know, a dozen different towns around here. They all have great school systems. You know, they bring their work back home in some cases and some separate from it. And it's, you know, it gives you both options really. So,
Now you're in Lake City.
So trying to get back there. So we've actually lived in Lake City a couple times, bounced back and forth, and so we're building a house down there right now and really trying to set our roots in and just kind of call it home here. I don't see us leaving for quite a while.
So. I mean, I grew up for the most part in Wabasha, and like just the river and the bluffs were just unreal.
I mean, it is.
What a great place to like grow up. Lake City, I mean, 20 minutes away, the same exact same scenery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have. There's just no water around here, right?
I know. So, I mean, that's what I missed. The biggest thing I missed was like, where's the water?
Yeah, yeah. So. It's such a vacation feel when it's home base even still. So
yeah,
I'm sure we'll see each other down there quite a bit this summertime.
That's right. On the boats.
That's right.
So growing up in Plainview, graduated from there. Kind of what happened after graduation?
Yeah. So Plainview, I guess my only thing that was really my claim to, I hate to even say claim to fame. That sounds so cliche, right? So the thing that I, you know, loved the most, I ran in high school and track and cross country. And so that gave me some opportunity to try to get out and, you know, continue that. And so I actually went to school on a track scholarship. And so that was really going to be the focus. You know, I just didn't know really what else I wanted to do in my life, but I knew I wanted to run. It's kind of Forrest Gump sounding, right? So I was like, that.
It's fun though.
Yeah. You know,
I was in track. I obviously didn't run. I was a long distance. No,
dude,
I threw, but it was a blast.
Yeah,
I love track.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different opportunities for stuff with track, and so I really enjoyed it. You know, had some success with it. Took me to college. I was going to follow that path. Life had different choices for me, and so things didn't pan out with running. I still dabble. It was my New Year's resolution was to run more this year, and it's been cold, so I'll
get is there like that. It's like an older man running club or something?
We should start one, right? After breakfast club, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be eating and then we'll run.
Yeah. No,
I'd get to the end of the parking lot. All right, guys, I'm ready to head out.
Yeah, no, I feel like if I did it now, I'd just have to be solo, just in my head, you know what I mean? So, went to University of Wisconsin La Crosse, was going to run there. Ended up actually getting in a car accident during that year and couldn't run for quite a while. Took some time off and just, you know, try to find myself, I guess, again, like, what did I want to do?
Yep.
And so some opportunities popped up and actually went to work for Bigelow Homes. And so a great opportunity and opened a door for me when I was young.
What were you doing right away?
Yeah, so it was really supposed to be just like, they had so many houses going. It's kind of like go around, check on them, make sure that, you know, punch lists were done right before houses were getting turned over to new homeowners, anything and everything. It was just a gopher, right? And so, but I got to see so much stuff and what was involved in the building trade. And obviously this is during the big boom of housing. So it's like 01, 02. And it really just like piqued my interest, right? Like I want to be part of this. I always enjoyed doing projects of different nature, and so it was a good fit, and they really for some reason saw something in me that they liked and really gave me a lot of opportunities. And so I from there I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to school, but I don't know exactly when. I worked for them for about a year, and then
so what was the draw to like go back to college maybe?
Well, I wanted to keep running, so I was like, I'm gonna give this another shot, right? And so I was like, I felt like I left that, you know, open-ended. I was like, I really want to run again. And so an opportunity came up that I could go and potentially walk on at Mankato State and run there if it worked out. And so, you know, I went back to college. So like I said, about a year and a half later, and really what was a great thing about Mankato State is they have a great construction management program too. So it's like, okay, I can run and I can do this and I can do both at the same time. And it could, you know, lead to a career. I knew that wasn't going to take me anywhere really with running, but it was a stepping stone. And so I went back to Mankato and quickly figured out like, I think my running days are over, right? It's like you take that time off and it's hard to catch back up. But I still really enjoyed Mankato State. And so I went there for a year. And after that period of time, it was kind of like, okay, I've got another year under my belt. Am I going anywhere with this, right? And so college is not cheap. And, right. and I was, you know, I don't want to say like on my own, but at that point, you know, there was no track scholarship. There was no anything behind that. And I was like, God, do I really want to go into debt and take all these loans for college, or do I just want to follow this and see where it goes, you know? And so I was like, I can always go back if I want to. So
were you working during that time?
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Yeah, crazy here. So I was kind of like, I'd work, probably like 32, 34 hours a week, something like that. But I'd drive back and forth in Mankato, and I'd set my classes up so that I could either take them at night or take them morning and then be over there by noon. And so, I mean, it was burning the candle at both ends. Yeah. Yeah. And that drive was terrible. Yeah. So I did that for basically a year, where I was just, you know, going 100 miles an hour. And I was like, you know, am I getting anywhere with this? And it just felt like maybe I wasn't. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to keep working and I'm going to see what happens with this. And so at that point, you know, I had another year under my belt, and Joel Bigelow basically just said, you know, we can try to work you up here and see how it goes. And, and so I started actually overseeing some jobs, and then as a superintendent, and then that kind of grew into project management and got into some design stuff, and, you know, got to see the real estate side of things there, because, you know, just the nature of what we do. And so it was super appealing to me. And I just felt like I had found my groove with that. So, unfortunately 2008 came around, and then that had different plans for me. Right. So life doesn't care about your plans. And so got to the point where it was, you know, the brakes got put on building real quick. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, didn't have a backup option, but knew I still loved doing it, but there was only so much opportunity. And obviously I was low man on a totem pole and not family name or anything like that. So, I actually made the choice to walk away from it. And I guess, you know, in hindsight, I'm not sure exactly why I walked away. I didn't, you know, I walked away on my own behalf. Yep. I was just kind of like, saw writing on the wall. It's like, you know what, I'm just going to jump. I'm going to force myself to do something different, but I didn't know what. And I had no backup option. So there I was, like, you know, I guess I probably would have been like 23, 24 years old, and kind of puppy who lost his way, right? So, I actually worked for Custom Alarm, just again, trying to just burn the candle at both ends. I was like working nights and weekends as a dispatch position, and I just found it on a happenstance. And so I was back to like working at, you know, prior to that, it was like, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, just 100 miles an hour. And I was like, wow, these years have really gone by fast. You know, you lose some time with it, but, you know, it got me to where I was. And it was great. And then, once I left Bigelow and I was still kind of doing that part time, there happened to be a sales position that opened up there. And I was like, you know, maybe I'll look into this. You know, I really didn't have a sales background, but I kind of, you know, you touch in with that customer interaction and things like that. And so, and I knew a lot of the builders in town. I was like, well, maybe I can, you know, preface this and get into it with it. And so I just took a shot, applied, they hired me, and I was thinking, oh, I'm on top of the world. Well, then, you know, you get into it and it's like, well, it was 100% commission based, basically. It's like, all right, well, you know, sink or swim, right? And so it's like, you know, jump in. And
sales is pretty crazy.
Like sales is crazy, right? So, and it forces you to give it your all, right? Like you can kind of, you know, half-ass it and do what you want with it, but the sky's the limit. And I instantly saw that, and I was like, you know, I can take this as far as I want to, or I can just kind of sit back and see what comes to me. Yep. And so things started picking back up in the economy, you know, maybe another year or two after that. It was kind of like, it was tough getting started, and I was grinding, but learning a lot, and there was a lot of opportunity at Custom Alarm. And so I kind of saw that right away. And a great local owned company and family owned. And so like there was a lot of promotion from within and, you know, the opportunities they saw and the people that they had.
And they were probably growing too at that time.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they did a great job of looking out for people that, you know, treated them well too, and were loyal to the company. And so, I actually worked my way through a couple of different opportunities there. about every 2 years, kind of a position with different accounts would open up. Mm-hmm. And so I would take chances on those, and they did a great job of, you know, putting trust in me and let me take on some of those. And so it just kind of kept snowballing. And bigger accounts and bigger jobs and bigger territories and things like that. And so I actually, it would have been probably around 2007-ish, an account opened up for down at the Mayo Clinic. And so I was like, I knew nothing about it. And it was very niche sales, right? Yeah. And so I was like, I'm a fish out of water here. But those types of positions just don't come along that often. And so, applied, and, it was kind of a roller coaster, but they ended up, saying yes. And so again, I'm pretty young at this time, and it was like the biggest account in the company. And it's kind of like, don't mess this up, you know, and you put that pressure on yourself. I think I've always been kind of my own biggest critic and my own, you know, worst enemy in a lot of cases, but,
I mean, you have to stay self-motivated.
You do. You really do.
There's that element, like, again, with, like, even just sales in general, there's the, especially if you're heavy commission, then it's really, like, it's up to you, kind of. Like, you know, we're here to support you and be here for what you need, but you got to go do it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And, you know, business ownership, and whether people associate it with it or not, it's really 100% commission, right? I mean, at the end of the day. Yep. So it doesn't matter what you're selling. If you're owning that company, you're based on the performance of it. And so, you know, I've always been good at holding myself accountable, and that one was no different. You know, went out, got myself certified in a lot of different, again, really niche specialized, trades within it. And so that was, it was great. It forced me to learn it, and it forced me to do it on my own. And there's really not that many people that specialize in fire alarm and security in this area, right? So if you can be on that bandwagon right away and kind of be the person that, you know, is the one and the guy, you know, it opens up more doors organically. And it did just that. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at without it today. Got to the point where, again, I just kind of hit the ceiling, hit the cap.
And how many years at,
So I was overall there, it would have been about 11 years or so. I think I was coming up on year 12, and, you know, they flew by, right. Yeah. And so, yeah, it was 2018, like I said. And so, economy was humming along, you know, had really carved out some really nice accounts and business. And it was one of those things where it's like, why would you turn your back on this, right?
And things are all going good.
Yeah, things are going good, right? It's like self-deprecating in a way. It's like, don't do this, but at the same time, don't just become complacent, right? Don't just go through the paces and just ride this out for the next 15, 20, 30 years, whatever it might be. And I guess I was just like, well, I want more, you know, I want to do something else. I want to push myself. And so at that point, you really don't have too many opportunities. It's either go out on your own or try to buy in or whatever that might be. And so we looked at a couple of different options on possibilities, and really there really wasn't one for me there, you know, family owned company. And that's just the way it is. It's fantastic. You know, they've done a great job with it. And so it's kind of set myself out, and now it's time to, you know, fly again. Right. And so I basically said, I got to walk away from this, and told them, and it, you know, with not without a lot of thought, I mean, months and months of just putting it on myself, like knowing that this opportunity is there. And then finally just, you know, you just got to jump. And so I did that in October of 2018. And,
how did you get it connected then?
Yeah.
First off.
Yeah. So with a cord, you're saying?
Yeah. With a cord.
Yeah.
Cause like you're still at custom alarm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So but like you're ready for something new. Yeah. How does that come up?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in the role I was at with custom, you take on a subcontractor role. And, so Accord Electric being a contractor and us being a subcontractor, you know, we meshed up. And so I was doing a lot of deals with Accord and working on some of the projects, gotten to meet a lot of the guys that were on the team, really got to work with Huey a lot. And really, we just had a lot of the same approaches to business, just the way you treat customers, the way that you, you know, handle the deal, ethics, whatever it might be. We just really had a lot of things in common. And, I invited him to a business after hours. Like it was an event at Custom, and I was like, hey, you should come by, and you know, they're celebrating. I want to say it was like a 40-year anniversary or something like that. And lo and behold, he shows up, and he doesn't come to anything like that. You know, it just wasn't his thing, but he showed up. And so we talked for a few minutes, and he was just kind of like, you know, thanks for the invite. I don't usually come to these, but thanks for having me. And I said, hey, you know, we don't get to talk too often. You want to have a beer and just chat? And so we just kind of start talking. I said, so, you know, what's your game plan? Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of knew that he was getting towards the end. I said, are you working on anything, or what's your long term? And he said, you know, it's funny you ask. I was planning on my son taking over the business, and he had been there for 10 years. And he said, it doesn't seem like that's the way that things are going to go. And I said, so what's next? And he just said, maybe we should have lunch, you know? And so,
I mean, at that time, when you're asking these questions, are you kind of like, this could be something? Or was it just like, hey, I'm making conversation, get to know you? Or is it like, oh, I could actually like see this being a potential, like.
So funny you say that. So like maybe 3 months before I invited him to that, I'm going to pick my wife up at the airport. I'll never forget this time in my life, just because it was something hit me. I remember exactly what road I was on. I remember exactly what I was doing. And I was like I said, I was like, what is my next thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to see if a Accord would be for sale. Right. And like what that would look like. And I remember getting her out of the car, and I said, I'm making a move. And she's like, and she hasn't seen me in like a week or something, getting back from vacation. And she's just like, What are you talking about? You know, you're like just thinking I'm just spouting off.
My vacation was good.
Yeah. And that's how it was too. Like putting luggage in the car, and I'm telling her, like, I got something to tell you. I'm gonna make a move on something here. And so, you know, she gets her bearings straight around it or whatever, and she was, you know, back and forth, and she's like, it's a big risk, you know, and are you sure you wanna do it? And so then, you know, fast forward 3 months later, I get this opportunity. Huey presents it to me, you know, just to have the conversation. And at that time, I didn't know it wasn't for sale. You know, it wasn't like he was soliciting buyers or anything like that. It was just kind of like, hey, let's talk and see what things could look like. So we go and have lunch, and it was, you know, super right to the point, like, what are you gonna do, and where's it gonna go from here? And he's like, well, I do want to sell, and I want to get out. You know, I'm in my late 60s, and I'm ready to retire, and I missed out on a few years, and we want to travel and do you know, X, Y, and Z. And I was kind of like, well, we should see where this goes.
Yeah.
Right. And it was kind of the conversation went to, should I come work for you or see what that looks like? Or would we just jump right into, you know, buying a portion of the company and going from there? And, you know, maybe another half a dozen beers or whatever it might've been on different days. We just get together every once in a while and just say, hey, you know, where are you and what do you want to do? And at that point, it was every conversation just continued to steamroll. I was like, I got to do this. Right. And you just felt it. I'd tell my wife when I come home, I just felt super motivated. Like, I gotta do this. I gotta follow it through. And, so we came to some terms and talked them through, and they were agreeable for both sides. I went and talked to a couple of different places. There's a really good resource here in town out at the college where they actually will like evaluate a business if you're looking to acquire it.
Does that cost money to do that?
No, it's free.
Did it?
Yeah. Rick Underly is his name, and I think he manages a program at the college, and we just met, and I gave him some of the financials and talked through it, and he was like, yeah, it could make sense based on these numbers, you know. And he said it's right on the brink, and he said your better option is to get seller financing or whatever it might be, and or look at an SBA loan. And at that time, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Right.
I whatever you say. Hadn't bought any other companies in the past. And so he gave me some different resources, and I went through the paces on those. And SBA's got, there's some daunting tasks there behind the SBA if you want to get financing, especially for larger amounts of money. And so that didn't seem like a great fit. And then so we talked through terms between, actually worked with Think Bank here in town. I have a amazing commercial lending program. And we really laid out some of the facts with them on what it could look like. And they bought in and they said, you know, this could work. We, you know, we like it. We want to be part of it. But let's take it in a phased approach just to make sure that you get comfortable with it and really see where that takes you. And so they were all in within about 2 months from that time period. We were sitting at closing table and, you know, it was time to go. So no turning back at that point.
And I'm assuming it's like however you work the deal is kind of what you come up with the terms on it. But like, I mean, do you put like X amount down or percentage wise?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, if I had to say from what I learned, it's different for every business, right? If you're doing these things and based on the equity.
They're probably looking at everything that the company's doing.
Yeah. Blue sky comes up a lot, right? You hear this term blue sky and what it's valued at and what portion of it is that. Being blue sky and what is asset based, right? So, so you really get deep into the numbers right from the get go, which is, it's helpful because you understand, you know, where that snapshot of the company is at that time, but you also see the track record of it. So it's giving you a lot of information. Meanwhile, it's giving the bank what they need to see to know that it's a good risk. And so obviously what they saw was good on their part. And we just said, really, how we structured it was that Huey would stay with me as a guarantee for 3 years to say, you know, everything is going good. He's got it under control. Let's do it. And you know, every year for 3 years, let's take another chunk. And so it was really set up and tailored well that it didn't. It didn't tax the business. It didn't tax me personally. It allowed me to get into it and feel the company out without just, you know, taking everything I had and putting it on the table and then nothing to turn back on. Right. So we both stayed comfortable. The bank was comfortable. It just provided for a really nice transition and it was no pressure. So
was it easier or harder than you thought that whole process?
Looking back, it was easier. During the time I was like, every day felt like I was just getting beat down, you know.
Probably because, a lot of like unsure,
unknown.
What's going on?
Right? Yeah. Everything was an unknown when it would pop up. And even though you got a company that's run seamlessly for 35 years,
right?
There's things that happen naturally, but there's also things that happen that you need to give input to that you don't know about until they come up, right? And so I was learning a lot. I was making mistakes, but learning, and we were really getting some great momentum right off the bat. And the beauty of it was that the guys that stayed, the core group of guys, they were all in, and nobody left, and nobody wanted to leave. And even from the get-go, it seemed like people could see that we're going in a different direction, you know, that we wanted to grow. And so you get a company that kind of plateaus and, you know, it probably plateaued for the last maybe 10, 12 years, right? And so it was a good number for them. And so at that point it was like, all right, let's go to the next level. And at this point, we don't know what that next level is. You know, we're going to climb and we're going to see how fast this takes us and where it takes us. And so we really were trying a lot of different things and seeing what stuck to the wall and going from there. So
it's interesting, just like that whole process to me, because one of the things, you know, as a business owner too, you know, there's like, you're always kind of in your head, like, oh, like what, you know, like I'm doing this right now, but like, what else is there? And like, what else could you be doing? Or what's the next thing to add on to what you're doing? Or, you know, how much pressure do you want to put on yourself? But I, you know, I've thought about it. I'm like, you know, and you brought up the point, and we'll kind of go over that a little bit too. But there are a lot of good companies out there that are just owned by people that are ready to start retiring,
right?
And they're not bad companies. And maybe they again plateaued,
yeah,
because they're just like, oh, you know, we're in a comfortable spot. We're going to do this, but you know, I'd like to retire soon. Yeah. So like, how could you grab one of those companies and go like, you know? And I've even thought about it because I'm like, you know, we're in a cool spot where we know marketing and video and photo and like social media, and like how could I plug in our knowledge and resources into a company that's plateaued and just see what happens.
In our world, you know, you see a lot of acquisitions happen, you know, the big fish eat the small, and so it's they'll have, you know, these smaller companies will have real niche accounts that these bigger companies see, and they want, you know, they want to see if they can grow it, you know, bring their resources in to grow that account even more.
or they just want that in their portfolio. The thing is a lot of these small companies, they don't advertise that they're for sale.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, you're not going on Facebook Marketplace to buy a company. You're not, you're going to hear about it word of mouth. You know, there's brokers out there that sell companies, you know, contracting companies and things like that. But I mean, you're really getting into something that you're kind of going in blind, you know, really blind at that point. Here, at least, I mean, Huey and I knew each other for a better part of 10 years, right? And so even though I didn't work for that company, we knew each other, you know, really well and, and just really felt comfortable with each other. And, you know, I would tell people, you know, look for that, you know, that type of opportunity where you know that somebody might want to get away from it and just see what they want to do, right? Ask them the question of what their game plan is. And I think a lot of these guys you know, companies that have started in the 80s and 90s, they might want to look at a strategy and they don't know how to get out either, right? They just,
that's a new concept to them. Yeah,
it is.
If you haven't taken the steps and planned for an exit,
yeah,
you're really kind of just like, what do I do? What's next?
Right. They don't know and you don't know as a buyer.
And they don't want to just like stop.
Right.
You know,
it's right. Like, it's not like, you know, if you're going to sell a house or whatever, you go talk to a real estate agent and you list your house and you've got that, you know, that good medium person there. Whereas, you know, with this, unless you get a broker involved or anything like that, you're really, you know, it's buyer and seller, you know, just having that conversation. In hindsight, you know, I've heard that there's companies that will go through and do an evaluation on a company and put an actual value on it. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have done that, but I also am glad I didn't, because if the numbers told a different story, I might have backed away from it. And so I might have said, you know, I might have gotten cold feet if the numbers told me a different story. I was really interested in the potential, right? And for that, there really was no price. It was like, you know, this is what I think it's worth, and this is what I think I'm comfortable paying for it. So, you know, I wish I would have known in hindsight, but at the same time, I'm glad I didn't. And the number we had, you know, worked, and the company supported it. So. Yep. Yeah,
that's really cool. So you bought in. How did it go? Like internally, you know, how did employees respond? Because you didn't really have a background in the industry. I mean, you knew bits and pieces of it, but like,
you're not supposed to tell anybody.
Some of the, all your years as an electrician.
No, it's I get that.
But the other thing too, before we get into it, is like how important. Like part of that, like the processes and having the people in the right places to where you didn't need to technically know a ton of specific stuff, because like you already had really great people, you know, working there that can do it.
Yeah. 100%. And that was, you know, what probably gave me the most reassurance is that, there was processes in place and people knew what they had to do. And we had great accounts and we had great reputation and we had a lot, you know, great momentum, man. And so all those things in place meant for an easier transition, the way I saw it from the surface, right? It was like, I can come in here and I really don't have to change anything.
Right.
I need to observe. I need to find out what we're good at. I need to just kind of take a back seat and let everybody do what they've done. But if I see areas where we improve, then let's put our touch on it. And then let's, you know, see if everybody will embrace it. And really that was what we did, just kind of take, you know, small pieces and like, you know, do we have the right guys for this? And do we want to do more of this? And I'd ask for feedback from the guys and I get that same thing back. Like, yes, we should, or no, we've tried that and that didn't work. And, you know, so we would really bounce these ideas off internally. And so, you know, we talk about how big the company is, but at the end of the day, there's really only four of us that run this, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have this small group of people that really are flexible about what they want to do. In the field, you've got that many more people out there that, you know, they know what they're good at and they know what we can be good at too. And so they'll give you that feedback, like just stay away from these types of projects, or, you know, if these opportunities come up, you know, we've done great on them in the past. And so there's so much data there, and I'm such a data-driven person that like just combing through that data and like looking back through past projects, you know, that was actually a lot of fun for me to be able to find, you know, where we were good.
So. Right. And like I've read, I forget the specific title, but like there's plenty of business books out there where they're, you know, they'll talk about large companies and bringing in like a new CEO and how like a big majority of the start is just observation.
Yeah.
It's just going around to each department and like watching and observing and like taking it all in.
Yeah.
To then like formulate how we move forward. So for you, you know, there's an element of like, you didn't have to recreate the reel.
No.
You had to refine it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so absolutely. Like,
that's exciting.
I was, you know, I wasn't recreating the wheel. I was out there like, you know, putting armor all on it really. Like, let's look at what this looks like. Make it better. Yeah. Right. And let's get the word out that we're actually really good at what we do. And then let's go after some stuff and build our portfolio that people know we're capable of ultimately doing really anything in this area that we want to do. And it worked. And so I told everybody before I even came in there, it's kind of a meet the team type of a thing. And I said, listen, I don't want to change anything. I told them that from the get-go, because I'm sure on the other side of the fence, it probably looks like, oh, you know, what's going to happen now? Or this guy's
getting canned.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, this guy or whatever doesn't know what he's talking about. And so I just said, I'm not trying to change anything. I just know that this is a great company. You work here for a reason, and I want to keep it that way. You know, you've all been around here this long. Obviously there's something you like about this company. And so, you know, I think that gave him some reassurance, and they probably still were hesitant, just, you know, is he just saying that or whatever it might be. And I think we just did a really good job of that. And everybody bought in, and really we just, as soon as nobody left and it was kind of like a wait and see, nobody left. Then all of a sudden we started adding some people and it was kind of like, you know, everybody could see that we had momentum. We were going in the right direction. And we just kept our foot on the gas, taking on new projects.
Take us through like you bought it in 2018.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because I started MediaCore at the very end of 2018. So it's kind of fun that that's when you were buying in that same year.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Obviously, you know, starting at different points, but it's cool. And like, what have you seen the company, you know, how has it transitioned over those few years? How's it growing?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, from a revenue standpoint, it's, you know, kind of interesting how much growth we've had.
Yeah.
And some people would really say like, that's maybe not a healthy amount of growth, you know, like maybe just reel it back a touch. But yeah, we were pretty consistently like a $4.5 to $5 million revenue company. And now we're, you know, in that neighborhood of 12 million. So almost, you know, 2.5 times the size in 3 years. And really, we could do more if we wanted to.
Did you expect it to go that fast?
No, not at all. Yeah. No, we actually, Huey and I had a conversation about it early on, and he's like, I think you could take it to a $7 million company, you know, and that was what he thought was kind of untapped potential. Oh. And that was like in a rearview mirror on you know, Q3 year one, and it was kind of like, we can do more, you know? And so that was cool to see the growth, not without growing pains. I mean, it was every day. Cause you're taking a company that's proven to work at that size and then almost just saying, you know, let's do it twice as much. Right. So even though you're doing the same type of work, it's like you're really, you know, introducing new problems into the mix, but we were able to overcome them. And so we just continued to go. So that was 19 great growth. 20 comes around. Kind of weird to think that was 2 years ago almost now. Right. And it's like, I bought in on the second phase and then it was like, oh, surprise. We're going to shut everything down, you know? And so there was a lot of panic, you know, in the back of my head, like, you know, what have I gotten myself into? And it's kind of like, you know, like if you pick a team to win and then they always lose, right? And so you're like, every time I make that pick, that team loses. And I was like, why did I do this? You know, there was a lot of, I don't want to say regret, but it was like questioning my decision at that point. But I didn't have any other option, right? Like, this is it. I'm committed to this. And again, we worked in a lot of stuff that was already contracted at that point. So as long as, you know, contracts aren't getting canceled and like, let's go. Right. And so I told that to the guys and I said, hey, listen, this is going to be our motto is like, let's get it right. Let's just, if everybody's backing off, let's put our foot on the gas and see what happens. You know, what's the worst that can happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we went out and we went after more projects. We did some great buys. We bought things at the right price point, you know, that allowed us to do things and for future projects. And so a lot of what we do is commodity based in the pricing. And so we just have to hit that timing right. Mm-hmm. And so that kept us healthy, and the guys saw momentum. And again, we started to add more people again, even in the midst of this. And
right.
And so, that really made for a great 2020, and now 2021, hard to say that was in the rearview mirror already, but yeah, we had a fantastic 21 and 22 looks to be a banner year right now too. Man. So it's going to be a roller coaster of a year. There's no question about that, but it'll be a lot of work.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize all the time, like the mental battle of like owning a company. You know, because it's in that time, you know, when COVID hit and it's like, okay, stop, and you have all this debt, you know, and it looks different from everybody else and their situation.
Thanks for the reminder.
That's right. No, but you're growing. We're going to crush that real quick.
Yeah, just forget about that.
But it makes it even more real when you have that and you're going like, oh, crap, like what's going on? And you really have to have a lot of mental toughness to like get through.
Yeah,
things like that, because it can beat you down and like change your mood on everything.
Yeah, well, and if you got, you know, like I said, 50, 60 people looking at you to like see where your head's at, right? There's kind of like a, you know, maybe you get in your car and pound the steering wheel a couple of times, like, you know, let's get through this. And so I've got this long drive home, right? And so I'm sitting there, just all I got is this time in my head to think, just thinking, and it's like, you know, I come to work and I feel like I put on a pretty fresh face and just kind of like, you know, let's get after it and let's focus on this and take it, you know, bits and pieces rather than, you know, stepping back going, put the brakes on everything and let's just freeze in place. And like, I remember people saying like, you know, it's fight or flight. Right. And so at that point we really didn't have an option besides to fight. And so, and I feel like that made us better. And I figured if we got through it, you know, if we get through one pandemic, we can probably get through just about anything, you know? And so we're still trucking along. And, you know, I'll definitely say that I learned a lot during that period of time. And I would think that pretty much every business owner did. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's just amazing to see, the growth of the team and what we were able to do, even though we were faced with adversity. So,
yeah, the other thing too, like just with that all happening at once, it's also fun to see what you're capable of when you go in the right direction and you use that in the right way. Cause like it can crush you and you can just kind of fold.
Yeah.
Or you can really go, I mean, that's the point where your back is on the wall and you're like, okay, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
But it's fun to also see the potential that you do have, because you're like, I mean, if you're in the right mindset, it's, we can only move forward and this is what's going on. So I have to do literally whatever it takes to move this forward.
Yeah. And I hate to turn this around, but as you had said it, like you were starting from a different point than where I was at, but both starting really like same time. Right. So you had to have had some times like conversations in your head, like, what am I doing? You know, where are we going to go from here? I'm a year and a half in and you get hit with this, you know, gut punch basically. And, we probably should have had a conversation. I wish we would have met then.
That's
and
right,
been like,
that's right.
What are we doing here?
What are you doing? Yeah. I remember us, cause at the beginning, one of the things that we did a lot of was just like real estate. You know, we worked with a lot of realtors and just did home videos. We shot the property, made it look really nice. You know, they sold it with it. Well, you know, we'd get 500 or 1,000 bucks a pop.
Yeah.
And it was good for a bit. You know, it was just me. Then it was just me and Jake and me, Jake and Dakota. And we're pounding these out. But then you keep adding more team members on. It's like, well, how can we continue? And like the whole time we're doing more and more corporate work. We're working with companies and doing their story. And that's all we do now. But at that time when COVID really hit, it was like everything was on pause. Everybody's like projects, so it doesn't matter like where it was like, we need to just wait and see. Yeah. Cause like they just want to like hold their money and go like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So the only thing that was still operating was real estate.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, there's a few obviously doing stuff, but to us in our industry and like what we have done, it was like real estate. So we just like doubled down on like what we used to do, and
awesome.
We just pounded these, and they're really good. And, you know, it's like we got to bring all this new equipment that we didn't use on these, and it was fun. But but again, like, it was just enough to squeak by.
Yeah,
we got to pay our bills. We got to do this. We got to keep people working.
Yeah,
didn't have to, you know, get rid of anybody. And
but you learn a lot. Right?
You learn a lot.
I mean, you learn a lot about yourself and your company,
and you figure out like what you what you have to do, what your bare minimums are. I mean, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you manage differently during that time, but at the same point, you know what you're capable of when you come out of it. And I mean, it's been really cool to see your guys' growth too. And just like I said, I don't remember exactly where I saw you guys pop up, but I remember like the first couple of times. And, you know, I always like, I guess logos draw me in sometimes, you know? And so you have a real modern, clean logo. And I'm looking and I'm like, who are these guys? I feel like you kind of just popped up overnight.
We did.
Right? And so it's super cool to just like, I'm trying to find you guys. Like, I'm looking to see who you guys are and where that came from. And again, just organically, you guys worked with some of the customers that we work to and work with as well. And so I'd see that stuff. And, it, you know, it took until now, basically, a couple months ago for us to sit down together. And so it's just, it's really cool to kind of watch you guys grow too. And you know, in that same trajectory, right? Like we're both growing fast and not without growing pains, right?
That's right.
So
it is fun.
Yeah.
The logo is pretty funny. We, you know, just before obviously getting into the, just owning a company, I was doing a lot of research, a lot of books, you know, a lot of things like that. One of the funny things that I kept like seeing over and over when like people were starting was just like, they'd get stuck on these stupid things like your logo and like your name. And it's like, you can procrastinate all you want until, you know, like, oh, I'm not going to start because I don't have my like name or my like logo started yet.
Right.
And like, people would drag this on for months and like even longer than that. And it was just like, I saw that. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do that. I would rather get straight to the business and worry about this later than go like, I want to make sure everything's pretty before I have any business going on or making any money at all.
Yeah.
So I literally just like, I'm like typing stuff on the computer. Like I literally found a font that I like. And I'm like, that's a cool font. And I grab the M and I do Photoshop. And because my previous job, and then I just moved the M and the C up, did like a quick little thing. I'm like, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just run with that.
That's so crazy.
And
so crazy. So Accord, I get that once in a while, like, where did the name come from, right? Because it's not tied to somebody's name. You see that a lot with contractors.
A lot of families.
Families are, you know, this letter and that letter, and it's a couple of partners or whatever it might be. But Accord has kind of a unique name. So I asked Huey one time, you know, early on, I said, you know, where'd the name come from? And he said that the receptionist, he hired a receptionist like after a few weeks that he started the company. And she said, well, we need to get a name in the phone book. What do you want it to be called? And he said he looked out into the parking lot and she was driving a Honda Accord and it said it on the, and he said, well, that'd get us towards the top of the list. And that was it. There was no other thought involved in it. It wasn't Huey's Electric. It wasn't anything like that.
That's awesome.
And so it was just so happenstance, you know. It was good thing she wasn't driving a Pinto or something like that, you know. And so I look back and it's like, and to me, it's a name that sticks, and it's, you know, people want to know what that name is, right, or what it might be. But it was also nice when I was buying it because it wasn't tied to, you know, Rick's Electric or anything like that. It was something that was a name that you could brand ultimately. Yeah. And so we actually changed our logo right off the bat and stuff. My dad's a graphic designer. My sister is too. And so it was like fun to play with that right away.
Just
refresh it with, you know, with my take on it and just modernize it, but keep the name and keep everything, but yet, you know, show that we're here for the next, you know, 35 years. So
that was the same thing too, that I looked at that and I looked at the family stuff and I'm like, if I wanted to grow outside of just me or like, you know, video production, you know, like anything in media. So I'm like MediaCorp, you know, it was just like, it kind of sounded good. I looked at, you know, on the Minnesota State, it wasn't on there. I'm like, huh, like that's interesting. Yeah. But I'm like, this way I can take it kind of any route I want and anybody can own it. And it's not like a weird, it's just like, you know, it, and that's, you know, again, it was one of those things where I didn't want to spend a ton of time on it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, that sounds cool.
But when you look back on it, it's like that name fits you guys. Right. It fits your image. It checks all the boxes, but you don't even think about it at the time, you know, and how you're going to grow. And like that name's like one of the only things you have to live by. Right. At that point. So,
Now it's like a thing and you're like, dang, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's fun to look back on it. And, you know, that the name can be a big portion of it, but you know, that the reputation of that, you know, is going to follow you with wherever you go. And so, that's been neat to see too, that people recognize our name now and mm-hmm. you know, that it's gotten out there. And so it's fun to see that. It's fun to see people know who we are. It's fun to see our guys, like, you know, embrace the name and the culture and the clothing and stuff like that, just to see what they, you know, they want to be part of it. So,
and like we play off that quite a bit because we, you know, we're in an industry where we go, you know, Jordan, when people think of a Accord Electric, like, what do they think of? Like, when I tell somebody random, or that, you know, do they, first of all, do they know what you do, who you are? Yeah. Do they know who owns it? Do they know what, you know? And so there's so much of like the brand and the, you know, the marketing and stuff that we help with. So it's fun diving into that stuff because in our huddles, we're like, oh, everybody knows us. And like right outside of that, like, who are you? You're like, what do you mean?
You know, you don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And you know, you could probably say the same thing. Like, you said you lived in Wabasha and you're from Rochester, and you know, it's, you look at Accord and you probably didn't know who Accord was, you know, until we start, you know, talking and some people mention the name and stuff like that. And it's weird that you can live in an area and not know who all the players are. And I think I know everybody, you know, and I know who all the players are, but I'm sure there's one lurking around the corner that I don't know about, you know. It's weird that you don't know all the players, but yeah.
It's funny because, like, we market pretty heavily.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's organic too, you know, just putting stuff out there and connecting with people. But it's always fun when, like, someone's like, yeah, I've never heard of you. Like, what do you mean you've never heard of you? Do you have a phone? Like, what are you talking about? But then, like, I'm like offended and I'm like, why am I offended right now? Like, why should they know me?
It's kind of a good thing,
you know?
Right?
But it's exciting though, because, like, then you can, like, okay, good. Like, there is a lot of potential still out there for, like, people that don't know who you are.
Right. I mean, I kind of look at it like if you had a dating profile, right? Yeah. And you had this dating profile online and every single person knew who you were on that dating profile, your odds probably aren't real good that you're going to, you know, gain any new customers, right? New customers, new dates. And so then you look at it and it's like, I want people to not know who they are, who we are, and then get a taste of who we are and then say, oh, you know, that they realize what they're missing, I guess, in a way, right? And so it's fun to get new customers and it's fun to get feedback from them. It's good to hear things from people that we have worked with in the past that, you know, see that we've made changes to things and that they, you know, they want to be part of it still. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, I think you and I talked about it briefly one time too, that what we do isn't sexy. Mm-hmm. And so I run that challenge of like, this is not a real, it's not, I want to say not marketable, but it's not like what you guys do is in the depths of making things look sexy. Yeah. And what we do isn't. And so I take a look at it and it's like, what can we do?
Until we work together. Then
Yeah. And that, you know,
because like, I'm like, oh, I got so many ideas.
And that's, I'm so jacked for that. Yeah. So jacked. I can't wait. And I think it just goes along with putting that stamp and that image on something that's been proven. Right. So I got some ideas too. Yeah. We'll have to bounce them off here at some point. So,
one of the things I like to always ask is, you know, because there's a lot of highs, there's a lot of lows, there's just a lot going on. What keeps you motivated?
Yeah. Wow.
What gets Jordan excited and just going like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
Do more.
I mean, before I felt like I was just more of a glutton for punishment, right? Like I would just say, I want to take on more. I want to do more. I was like, I wouldn't delegate anything. I'd just take it on all myself because I felt like if I wasn't good at it myself, I had nobody to blame but myself.
Yep.
And so I really had to learn that I had to push some stuff off, right? I can't be perfect at all these things. I can't do it all. And so it's been nice to have a team that embraces taking those things on for me. But like now what I've seen has motivated me is having a kid. Mm-hmm. I never in a million years would have thought that, but like, I don't want to fail for her. And so I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff I do is like that motivates me is like cliche, but, my wife's probably going to kick me for even saying this, but I have a tattoo across my chest that's written backwards. and it says failure is not an option. And every morning I look in the mirror and it reads it back to me, and that I can only read it. Nobody else can ever read it. Can't make it out. It's a super goofy font. And so I see that and I'm just like, you know, today's a new day. And I'm, you know, you motivate yourself through sports and people or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. For me, it's just like that pure competitive nature. You know, you and I talked about that one time too. It's like, I don't care what it is. I want to compete at it and I want to get better at it. And so this gives me that fix, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. You know, every day is a competition, whether it be with myself or, you know, with other people in the trades or just, any given project, completing it on time, completing it on budget, whatever it might be. I can set things that are milestones that really drive me. So I don't think that's anything that will ever fade in me, as far as what motivates me. But right now, you know, the biggest thing I would say is my daughter.
That is kind of funny. Cause like before you had a kid, you're probably like, what are you guys all talking about? That's kind of how I feel like, you know, I could see maybe how that would.
Yeah.
But then you like see him and you're like, okay, like this changes a lot.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely. And, you know, going through some rough times and like in 08 when it felt like you were just getting kicked when you were down and, mm-hmm. you know, those times I look back and those ones really push me right now, you know, and they also help me make decisions like that. I don't want to have times like that in my life. And if I can control them, I'm going to do my best not to do that. Right. And so it's nice to be able to have that, to look back and you have that kind of, you know, in your history and you know what that's like, but like you really probably haven't been through a horrible economic downturn. Right. And you know, all signs point to that. We may not ever see something like that ever again in our lifetimes. And I hope that we don't. And so I use that, I think to motivate me too. And just that I want to provide for family and then having, you know, 60 other people that their families depend on me. I guess I kind of thrive on having that on my back, you know, and just, I want to come through. I want to be the one that takes the game winning shot. I want to, you know, be that one that comes through. So that's important for me.
That it's the employee thing is, it's interesting. Cause that was a whole new pressure that I hadn't ever felt. You know, you can I feel like once like I had guys uproot, move, change their careers to come work for me, there was like an element of like, well, I can't fail. Like he just changed his whole life, you know, coming down here. Yeah. So I'm like, and again, we're all young and we can kind of just, you know, pivot wherever, but there's still like that element of you feel obligated to take care of your guys.
Yeah.
And, so that's definitely like a motivator now. But other than, just like wanting to win and succeed. But then at the beginning it was funny cause, and I haven't really gotten to my story, you know, very deep with people either. But
let's talk about
there was like key people that were like it was almost like I'm gonna show you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I had points like that for just sure.
Drove you. And then it changes once you see some success and things like that and you get people and things grow and shift. But there was like that element of like watch.
Yeah.
Like just watch, you know, and it's fun.
Yeah. And, no, that's really cool. It kind of gave me some chills actually there thinking about that. Cause yeah, you're right. There are people in your life that you look back on. And it's like, you want to show them what you're capable of. And, there's definitely some people there that I felt like, you know, had doubted me in the past personally. And I probably gave them reason to, but it's nice to be able to show them, you know, that you're capable of more. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's the stuff that like, I mean, I was a pretty young guy, you know, starting a company and like there's plenty of partying going on. There's plenty of, you know, things like that I wasn't doing at that time. And it was just like, Josh, you know, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you coming out and hanging out? Or why aren't you? And like, they don't get it at the same time, but it was those moments where like those people where you're like, you know, I can't fail because like, you know, I want to show.
Yeah,
I want to show them. I want to show myself in the world like that. We're gonna make something happen here, and the more you do it, I think the more exciting it becomes. But it's always fun. I've always had a a fun energy about business. And like every time I meet with another owner or something like that, I get reinvigorated and like, you know, I'll leave that conversation. And they're like, man, like I'm pumped up. And I'm like, heck yeah, like let's do something.
Yeah. I don't care what it is. And, and I'm probably going to leave here and say the same thing. I've made that comment more than once. Like I just walk away feeling, you know, invigorated. Like I just want to do something or take that momentum and just capture it and just go off of it. It's almost like it gets your endorphins going in some way, shape or form. And so, you know, people that you have had here on your podcast and around you as well, same type of thing. I've sat down and talked about them and it's like, surround yourself with good momentum. Like you don't want to be the guy at the back of the pack. You want to be running with the pack. Right. And you know, it doesn't matter what it is. I don't care if you're selling cupcakes. Like if they're good, I'm in, you know, like I want to be part of that too. And like, I want to be involved with it. And whether it be, you know, as a customer or even, you know, me giving you a service that we provide or even just being a cheerleader. Right. So it's, it's cool. You want to surround yourself with momentum and it's neat to have that around you.
The people is a real, like, that's a real thing. I mean, like, and sometimes even for myself, you know, there's that bit of like imposter syndrome that like creeps in. Cause you know, even at our breakfast club, I mean, some guys are second generation, everyone's doing, you know, huge things, a lot of employees, you know, and I remember one time, you know, at West Bank and, you know, huge owners of massive companies, like really, really big companies. And I'm sitting there and I'm at least 30 years younger than everybody. I'm making conversation with people I know and having them introduce me and stuff, but it does creep in.
Sure.
But you know, one guy stopped and he's like, you know, I kind of said like something about like the age gap or something like that. And he's like, you know what? There's something to say that you're in this room though.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know,
I didn't think of it like
that. And they recognize it too.
You know?
For sure.
So it's fun to like look back at like the things that,
yeah,
that you go through that like motivates you. But, surrounding yourself with good people is solid. And I've had a blast like building relationships with guys like you and just continue doing, you know, that.
For sure. Yeah. No, I've been called the young guy in a room more than once. You know, I look back, somebody told me the other day, I was like, oh, you know, I was talking to Josh about this and yourself. I think I was talking to Melissa Brinkman about it.
Yeah.
She was like, I was like, you know, it's kind of cool, you know, hanging out with a younger group of guys that have all this great momentum around them. And she's like, I hate to burst your bubble, but Josh is significantly younger than you. And I'm like, oh man, I'm not that guy anymore, you know? And so she kind of brought me back down to reality. And so but I know what you're saying about being, you know, surrounding yourself with those people that have had success and like sitting at table with stakeholders that, you know, you might be 20, 30 years younger than. I think you just have to own it, right? Oh. And they can pick up on that. They know, you know, they can see success from a mile away, or they can see something in you that was a quality that they had, right? And so I think that was a common trend between Huey and I too. He'd look and say, you know, he'd say that, I'd see myself in me and vice versa. And so it's nice to know, almost see your reflection in a way, right? Like this is.
And it's that reassurance is nice too. When like, you know, a veteran that has been doing this for a long time can go like, you know, you got it.
Yeah.
You know,
they can see it.
That makes you feel good. And it's like, okay, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've definitely met people like that where it's like, you can tell like in the first 5 minutes, whether or not that person is going someplace or if they're going to be, and if they already are, you can like, you can see their stock climbing almost right then and there in front of you. So yeah. Big things ahead. That's for sure. Sick.
So what, kind of looking into the future, what are you looking to do for Accord? What do you think?
I hate to say I'm getting restless already, but it's, you know, my wife and I have talked about like, do we want to do something else? Right. Like that. I want to keep Accord doing what it's doing. And I don't want to say pull back the reins a little bit, but I want us to, you know, hit that threshold. And then I want us to see where we want to grow from there rather than just, you want to have that point of reflection, right? Like, okay, we had all this growth. what got us there? What did we do well? Like, let's take a little pause and then go again. And so my wife and I were having a conversation, like, do we want to start another business? And I'm, you know, we've hemmed and hawed back and forth, like, if we wanted to do that, and or do we want to just put all the focus into our cord and just and keep going with that? So mm-hmm. I'm at a bit of a crossroads right now, like whether I want to do that. I've had some opportunities come up, and whether I'm reluctant about it, but I just want to make sure that I pick the next right. best opportunity, right? Yep. And with Accord, you know, like I said, we've figured out what we've been really good at in the last few years. And so we've actually landed a couple of projects that we strategically went after that I think is going to lead to other similar mm-hmm. projects, you know, that yep. now people are seeing what we're capable of, that they didn't give us a chance on it before. And so we're going to have that on our resume and be able to go after those types of projects. And I'm really looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to seeing if there's something else out there for us that we can be good at, you know, mm-hmm. like just maybe it's the next best thing that, you know, maybe it's EV chargers or whatever it might be, you know, that we hitch our wagon to, that we could be that company that people look to, you know, to provide that service. So, yeah. So I'm excited for that. As of right now, like I said, just trying to get comfortable back in life again. Right. It's so crazy how, like, if you don't have a routine, your whole life yeah. feels disrupted. I'm a very routine creature. And so not having a routine around my personal life is just chaotic. And I just want to get settled and refocus. So nope. yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Call crossroads.
I guess. That's great.
Yeah.
we have a decent listener base of, you know, owners and entrepreneurs and people starting and, you know, all around, just in different parts of the journey. But looking at your business and entrepreneur journey, the things that you've learned, the place that you've worked, you know, what advice would you give someone, not necessarily in a specific field, it could be, but just that might be earlier on.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought you might ask that exact question. Yeah. I thought about it, played through the scenario in my head, like, what would I tell, you know, young me or something like yeah. that? You know, the thing that I go back to, and again, it probably sounds cliche, but there's really no replacement for hard work. Like, if you just dive in 100% and you own everything you're doing, not just dabble in it, but whatever that one thing is that you feel like you're going to follow through with, like, just go 110% at it. And again, it just sounds so cliche, but it's, I found that anything that I did, as long as I was, you know, first one there, last one to leave, owned it 100%, that it gained me the traction, over the next person. And so I took that, I hate to use the term self-made, but, have found my way, you know, with a lot of support and people around me. But at the end of the day, I wasn't given anything or anything like that. It was earned. Mm-hmm. And I take a lot of pride in that. And I think people can see that I have nothing but pride in what I do. I think that customer service, again, is as unique as every customer is. There's a common theme that every customer wants. And I really think that they all crave working with somebody that's going to take good care of them. And, you know, I've been a customer for a lot of things in my life, and I base my, my decisions around like what I would do as a customer, you know, and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what it is that I'm selling or buying. I guess, you know, you want that transaction to be mutually, you know, acceptable on both sides. So yeah, hard work, treat the customer right. And keep your foot on the gas, I guess. That's the best yeah. thing I can give. So.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's really good. Just speaking on like the hard work piece, it's fun because so we're in kind of like a mastermind group for video people or whatever.
Yeah.
And that most of them are just spread out over the world and stuff like that. But we're in this group, and these guys, you know, have been doing it, you know, 10 plus years, you know, and we're on year 4.
Yeah.
And kind of the coach sometimes when we have one-on-ones, and one of the things he does is like, you know, he gets on me sometimes for not – yeah, working smarter. You know, sometimes I just like to work harder.
Yeah.
And just, you know, push myself and just grind. And, you know, I feel like in the start, you're kind of always in that grind until, you know, you really can analyze. And we have, but it was just, this is funny. He's like, you know, one of the things that I got to just compliment you on is literally like anything that we do or say or like whatever, like you just hustle until it gets done. It's just there's just a thing, the hard work and days.
Yeah. You can see hustlers around you. I've had that. People say that before too. It's like, you know, what's the common theme? And it's like, if you're ready to grind and you're ready to hustle, like you can just see people that are ready to do that. And you want to be around it. And, I guess maybe that's why I feel like, you know, like the crypto thing isn't for me. Cause it's like, I take a back seat to it and like just play to the market or whatever it might happen. But it's like, there's no grind involved in it. And I guess maybe that's why I can't get on that bandwagon. I've had people ask me about it and maybe I'll look back on it and wish I did, but
I might wish that too, but I hate it.
Yeah. It doesn't do it for me, I guess. No, I don't know.
Like I want to see it, feel it, touch tangible. It, you know, like, yeah. Be able to change, you know, and you're just kind of like at the mercy of whatever happens. And
yeah,
you know, people are making money, but it's just like, damn, for sure. Like, I don't get on that.
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm too much of an emotional investor at that point. Yeah. Like I can't stomach the roller coaster, I guess, with it. But at the same time, like I said, it's like an imaginary number that's sitting in an account or whatever it might be, but there's no grind and hustle involved with it. There's no interaction with it. Maybe that's why it just isn't a good fit for me personally. So, but God, I hope I don't come back and regret it someday.
That flips back in 100 times.
Yeah. Oh man, maybe I should have jumped on that train, but that's funny. Who knows?
Well, sweet. Jordan, this has been awesome.
Yeah.
I definitely appreciate you coming on today.
For sure. Appreciate the invite. I can't believe that time went by fast.
Wow. It does. It goes by quick.
Yeah. I'll tell the next guy that comes in after me. Like, over with like that.
Yes, thank you to the listeners that are tuning in every week. I hope you're staying motivated, learning something, taking away, and that you're sharing it with people too that you think can benefit that. So we will give this one a listen, share it, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Thanks again, Josh. Appreciate it.